Hello, Studio 108, Seekers and Sages. I am here with Christy Murdoch. I'm super excited that we have a chance to sit down and chat because Christy's been attending classes and we've been kind of like saying hello, goodbye, and sharing a few comments before and after class, but we haven't had a chance to really sit down and dig into it. So this is the day. Christy is a mom and an entrepreneur and many other things included in what is important to her and how she lives her life and lives her value system. And I think that it's going to be a super interesting conversation today. She is the Mama Bear, the owner, founder, and designer behind Banyan Tree, which is a boutique in both Tremont and Crocker. You've been in the city for a while.
21 years.
21 years.
That's me.
Which is like a lifetime for some people who are 21, but like a lifetime for you.
I was 23, so it has been my whole adult life. I don't know anything different. But it's been a journey. And I just want to say thank you for the space and thank you, for our Studio 108. It's helped me on my wellness journey, and I am so happy I found you and Leah and the wellness program, and Kundalini yoga has really changed my life. So I really want to thank you for that.
Thank you very much. I think that the studio kind of has become its own entity, and it's become its own entity based on the people who are walking in the door, bringing their vibe, bringing their conversation. And it is a more exciting and enriching experience than I ever expected it to be. So like when you come and we have these conversations, I'm like, oh, my whole heart just like sings. Like there's like a resonance, there's a vibration to just like coming home to all of us who have been out there doing our thing for 21 years.
Right.
And now can kind of come together
and find a community that is talking deeper and having conversations that matter. And I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, thanks for sharing and adding to that today, because it's important. All right. So we want to hear about Banyan Tree.
Yes.
And we want to hear about your process, your values, and how do you express that through the products you make and the people you serve, and the people that you bring into your circle and valley, because I know it's all about the valley.
It is, and it's and the people that I work with, it's so important to me. I think that's one of the things that I want to be around, people that are supportive with growing themselves, growing the business, working together. And I'm so happy right now I have found that. And sometimes it doesn't happen and you're, you know, kind of struggling. And I'm just so thankful for everyone right now that we're just having a good time.
Yeah, it's a real cohesive team for you right now. And I'm sure over the years, you've learned a lot and experienced a lot.
Oh, and there's so many people that have come into my life for the perfect time, the right moment. And it's helped me. Like I said, I didn't work anywhere before, so I really relied on other people coming in and teaching me.
You were really young.
I was really young.
Do you look back and like, I was a little girl.
I was a little girl.
What did I think I was doing?
I don't know. I really don't know. I felt like this, and the pressure that I had, and I can't believe I had those pressures at that young of age, really made it. I grew up pretty fast, but I was still very immature.
How did you get started? Were you on Shark Tank?
No one walked in for a good 3 years. So no,
it was
lonely, very lonely. My husband worked and he would come home and I would be waiting. And I literally didn't have, I opened right before 9/11. And so it was right at late in the May. So we didn't have any, it was, I mean,
you were at Tremont in those years. That was really before the big revival.
I was coming in. I always thought I was late to the game, but it was I came in when Lola was there, Michael Sandwich opened his restaurant. There was restaurants. Yeah. There was one other store.
So it was
store.
A foodie scene, but not as much shopping.
Right. In our galleries, for sure.
Yeah. And none of you guys were really open late night.
No.
Special events, but it's not like you could take advantage of that restaurant traffic.
Right. So I did stay open until 9 on weekends, and I always held the same hours. So I worked a lot. Like I worked 11 to 7 during the week and 11 to 9 on weekends. It was just me. So it was, I opened every day. I just put the key in the door. I'm like, okay, let's go. It was a lot of trial and error. Like I changed my, it was an art gallery. I opened, it was a fine arts minor ceramics. I really wanted to have a community store. Very important for me to have a beautiful, like a space where you can, it's an old building and it's just a gorgeous space to be in.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to have a place where people can just get lost in your own beautiful things.
Well, one of the things that Christy and I talk about a couple times is this her love of beauty and the goddess Lakshmi, who is like the goddess of expression, like through the mythology, she tells the story and expresses this this stream of beauty and abundance and prosperity. And so like Lakshmi is the flowers in the garden and the fruit hanging off the tree, and she's the gold coins spilling out and the beautiful jewels around your neck. And so when you talk, I can just like see all this Lakshmi, like glitter in your auric field happening. It's just like, I love this beauty and the building and like all of this.
So, I'm a very empathic person. So I think even the space around me has to feel good.
Yeah.
Like not only people's moods, I'm trying to work on that, but I definitely feel like spaces, and I feel like in my intuition.
Right. Yeah. I feel that too.
Yeah.
We were talking before we started the recording about the studio in Akron down in the valley versus what we have here. And this place has that kind of stream, and I know you've got that kind of feeling where you're intrigued too.
And in Cracker Park, I felt that same way too. It was one of it felt like an older storefront.
Right.
Like just when I walked in, I'm like,
they've got great light coming in.
They do.
Inside with all that good light.
Yeah. So it is, and it's a community base too. And I feel like people were one of the only, there's a few people popping up, but we were one of the only local boutiques. So I think that's kind of where retail malls are going towards. I think we'll see a lot more local people.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So we've said community.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said local. So like all of your tag values show up in the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's really well integrated. You've been holding this kind of space.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was doing. Like I didn't have those, I knew what I valued, but I didn't have it. I couldn't articulate it.
Well, and I guess too, when you're that young, when you're in the thick of it, there's no context for it yet.
No.
Like you didn't realize that this is a big movement that you were starting.
I didn't.
Right? You were the clue. But like,
I think the naiveness helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so were you traveling to Bali then? Where were you sourcing your materials? And
so I did a lot of local people. We did some local artists. We were fortunate, my husband is from Australia, and we were fortunate to be able to, he loves to travel, so we were able to go to Bali on our honeymoon. We did this really beautiful honeymoon where we got married in Hawaii, went to Australia, and then went to Bali, and we had friends that imported.
Okay.
So we were just going to visit them. They offered, we actually were going to go to Fiji, and they had a coup.
Oh.
And so we pivoted, and they offered, they're like, come and visit us, and no intentions of opening the store, but that's where my inspiration came. I saw what she was doing, and I helped her, and she had a store at Punta Bay at one point, and that's where I grew up during the summers. My mom had a store.
Wow, all of these not so coincidences.
No.
Everything lining up.
Everything lined up.
You didn't really have much of a choice, did you?
No, I didn't. And I tell people are like, was this your dream? I go, I saw my mom in the store and I saw that she loved it. But I saw how much work it was.
Yeah.
And I knew, and I did fight it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know how hard it is. And I know what you have to do. So it wasn't like I was naive to that.
Right.
I knew that I needed a lot of work, and she only had it seasonally. And I'm like, I came into this all year round thing.
Right.
With no one coming in.
Good thing you had a crazy good honeymoon. Good thing you traveled all over. Good thing you did those fun things before you put the key in the door.
Yeah,
because once that started, it is.
And then, so the woman that was the importer, the couple, they actually consigned things to us, and we did a lot of silver jewelry back then. It's a little more expensive now, but I didn't do clothing until 5 years. I was more of a home decor, gift shop, wedding place. It really didn't until we took the storefront next to us over.
Okay.
That's when we switched and then it was all downhill. It was a woman's boutique from then on. I remember kind of, they're like, oh, can you do shoes too? I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Now we're, you know,
yeah.
I found my niche. But if I would have stuck with like what I wanted, and I really had to adapt to what people were shopping for, and I fought it because it was my what my mom sold. I'm like, I'm going to be different from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the same clothing, but
100%, but the same category.
The same category.
Yeah. And you didn't want to differentiate and kind of find your own conversation.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting. Like when a space or a business takes on a life of its own and you start having that conversation with customers and letting it grow.
Yes.
I mean, it's a courageous experience.
It is. And it lights me up. It definitely, I love to hear how I can change and make things different and always evolve. Like I don't ever want to be too like
100% attached.
Stuck.
Yeah.
And I want to be surrounded. And I feel like I am with people that have like great ideas and that will take them and run. And it has taken a life of its own.
You've learned how to be a facilitator.
Yeah. I try. I have lots of errors, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Here we sit. Human.
Very human.
But you have a lot of practices that support you in
Absolutely.
This. So what are some things that have been?
Well, I think one of my proudest things that I've done in my life is give up drinking. And that was about 6 years ago. And that really sparked my wellness journey. I always was very considered like I was vegetarian, but I had this thing.
Yeah.
And the thing stopped me from really my potential of like becoming mentally sound, having my energy not, you know, like emotionally basket case basically. And I needed a change and I didn't know what it was. And I just saw what it was doing to me. And the fog, the thinking unclearly. I mean, I was a social drinker. I don't feel like I was like ever.
I think we call that like gray area drinking.
Yeah.
Because I found myself in that same thing where it's just a part of my life.
Yeah.
But it's not really serving me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big like, why?
Yeah.
Around it.
Yeah. And it numbed a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of pain.
Yeah. And I know I use it as an off switch too.
Yeah.
Like how else do I turn off
so
I can get some relief from the stress of the day.
Mm-hmm. Or even excitement. Like even
celebration.
Every emotion I used it for. And it really stunted my growth emotionally. I mean, my marriage wasn't good at the point. You know, we had these small kids. I wasn't becoming the best mom. I did. And I think the fuel was my kids. I think.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to be and I couldn't be
with that habit.
But then it sparked, I got a yoga training and I found when I lived on the east side or west side, I found this nice studio and I'm so happy that when I moved over here, I found you. But you are
a yoga teacher.
Well, I got the training. I got the training.
I mean, that's like a commitment to practice.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I have a practice in the morning. I'm back since back on this meditation in the morning.
Triggered.
I need to do this because it's so important. Walking in the morning, eating well, doing my juices, doing all of the things that nourish me. Coming to Kundalini class and
I know stirring it up so you can clear it out so you can be strong.
And I think
that's like the conversation when you said about like being an empath and having a strong aura so that you're not quite as influenceable.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you don't pick up on other people's things and you can have like
I can have
this is my space and I'm clear about that.
Yeah.
And you can have that emotion over there and that's fine with me
Absolutely.
Because I've got this space.
Yes.
Like that really happened for me through Kundalini Yoga too. And I could talk about it before and I could understand that's the way it should be. But all of a sudden I didn't have to even say the word. It was just there. That shield was there and it was strong.
That's amazing.
And I think
I can't wait to get more into the practice.
Yeah.
Because I know that I do take things personally. So I do have that ability to really try to figure out how to fix people and to control them to make sure that they're okay. So I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like that because it's not we're all our own people, and we need to have our own feelings. And
yeah, and I mean, the theory is that by letting them figure it out, I'm actually giving them the love. Like, I respect you enough to figure out your own mess.
Exactly.
But it is not easy. And every single relationship has a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when we start figuring out how can I shift that so it's healthier for me and everybody else in the scene, it's a real practice.
It is a practice.
Yeah.
And thank God my husband's on that too. And we've really figured that out.
Yeah.
That met at a young age. And, you know,
we
patterns were very dysfunctional for many years because we stayed in that, we were stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to like get past that and see each other for like, we are different people. We're not like, he doesn't have to do the same things I do, or he has his own journey and I have my own journey. So
well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's just huge.
It's really, really huge.
Because it's, I'm so thankful, you know, that, you know, we were able to do that together.
And his soul could be in that place too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Well, tell me what's going on in Bali, because that's
clearly
all I heard. It's just like retreat in Bali is what I heard.
I know. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that would be so
fun. So when we went over on our part of our honeymoon on this big vacation journey before when we got married, I met the people that I still work with. So
you have a long-term relationship connection.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the our cargo agent is a Hindu priest, and he's kind of orchestrates everything. He makes sure the product is ready and when to pick it up, and he's our like lifeline there.
Uh-huh.
And we have like women that I work with, and that are sisters that do a lot of the tie dye, and they do yoga at lunch together, just the two of them. It's so cute.
It's so good.
Yeah. And
so good.
We love to, you know, when we see each other, it's so good to see them, and they have such great ideas. I love working with them. And another gentleman, Kutut, and his family, he is one of the nicest man you will ever meet in your whole life. And he really does, care so much. He just wants to make sure each item is, you know, he beat these and he stone washes all
those pans.
Yeah.
She's got these pans on. I'm going to describe to the people that are on audio. I don't know. They're this beautiful, beautiful, rich green, and they've got fluted like ruffle down the side. They're super soft and flowy.
Yeah.
And
they're stone washed. So he actually makes, you use stones to make these. But you can't use two men because it'll put holes in it. So he had to figure out how to make it where there wasn't too many stones in the process. So we've done lots of tests.
They're super cute.
Yeah.
They're just baggy enough and flowy enough.
Yeah. They're so comfortable.
Yeah.
So you feel like kind of dressed up.
And exactly.
Comfortable.
A little luxury dress up.
Yeah.
Kind of like without being stuffy and too formal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really super cute.
Yes.
So,
and a lot of he works out of his home, and he has his front room is his, where he does all the pattern making. So we do a lot of like sketches and stuff.
Because you design.
I co-design. So I,
okay.
like I, he helps me. Like I can't do any of the pattern making. That's
oh,
it.
Yeah.
So we like work together with like coming up with ideas. I will show like photos, and we'll kind of like, I always put pockets and everything.
Oh,
so except these. I can't play every time. I'm like,
I
think it makes it look
too
big. Too
bulky,
But we collaborate a lot. I go to the fabric store with him and get little samples, and then I figure out which item I want to put. It's like a science.
Yeah.
And I have to look, you know, I make the knitwear, and I'm like, what colors am I doing with the pants?
So that it wardrobes out.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And some things are on its own.
Uh-huh.
But I try to do kind of like a collection where you can kind of mix and match.
Right.
But a lot of the women that he has sewing machines in the other room, and a lot of the women over the years, you know, they're in their 20s, they look like they're 12.
Yeah.
But
talking about that, like, you know, like what do you see in Bali about, you know, the whole child labor conversation and the
that
working position?
I mean, I have never.
But you haven't seen it or heard it, and you've
yeah.
got like just this really lovely
yeah.
family-based team.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is when a lot of the women get married, they go to their homes, and he will give them a sewing machine so they can go home and do some of the work So,
they're working from home. Mm-hmm. How nice.
Yeah.
And they really appreciate you on that.
They do. And, you know, we've been a part of, like, they put temples in their house and we've been a part, we've donated to them that way. And we're trying to be a part of their
empowerment.
Yeah. And they're very thankful. Like, it's a two-way street. We're so grateful as
well. You know, my teacher, Guru Jagat, my Kundalini yoga teacher, she says that, you know, you can have your success, but when you are in a position to create success for someone else,
yeah,
then you have your success.
That is true.
And that's like, that's so beautiful in you and around you, mm-hmm. that you created a situation where they can have success and their families can be healthy and whole and, you know, have a way of living
and
have so much respect for what they do and joy for what they do.
Yeah. They're very, very artistic. Their whole culture is on beauty.
Yeah.
You know, their whole culture is on they do these, they have in a temple every like morning, lunch and dinner, they do offerings. So you'll see offerings everywhere on the ground when you're walking on the streets, and they're like made out of banana leaves with like little flowers in them. You'll see the women going out with their incense and they go to the offering, but it's a practice of gratitude.
Oh,
so it's like their gratitude is in their culture every day.
Do you know that that's like the key to Lakshmi?
Is
like
it?
If you want to unlock the Lakshmi stream, the energy of that prosperity, it's through gratitude. That's like in the Hindu teachings and in the mythology and in the conversation. And so
love
it so much that that is what you bring forward. It's like, it's so embedded in their lifestyle.
Yeah.
That's why the flowers grow.
That's why they're smiling. They
might
not have everything we have, but they're smiling. They have their communities. They have
I bet this impacted you so much. Do you take the kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we haven't gone in 2 years and we plan on going this summer. We have to go see it. We're very blessed to go see his family, Dale's family in Australia.
Oh, nice.
And so we are going to go see them and his parents' 50th anniversary and all the things. And then we'll be going to Bali. And so it's been a couple of years, so I haven't been able to be there in person. And
so they become like a part of your living your value system, not just for what you can give to them, but what they bring to you too.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that so much.
Yeah, and I think I just realized over the years how amazing their culture is. When I was young, I didn't really get it. There was language barriers, the things didn't happen right, and you know, I would get frustrated and I didn't understand the bigger picture of how to like
Bali time.
Like, oh, this is a cultural difference. Like we're used to like, oh, productivity and like what, you know, just being very driven that way, and they're not.
Well,
refreshing.
We're attached, and like the time thing is huge here.
Huge.
And I mean, even in Central America, time means a whole different.
Yeah.
Time is a whole different
thing. Well,
so in Bali,
like,
it's like the same thing as time. Like just.
Yes, and they've learned because you know I've worked with them that time. Matters. But I had talked to someone that was over there in a smaller part of Indonesia, and he was a pilot, and he didn't realize that he would be circling and waiting for them to tell him to land in a small plane. So I'm like, soon. He's like, what do you mean soon? He's like, well,
a half a tank of gas soon.
They don't have. They live in the present.
Yeah.
They're not thinking like.
And there isn't that like requirement to
have
the clock all the time.
Yeah. So
that is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
It is to go nice to go and to be on that time with them for a while.
Yeah.
And then you just like have to be clear so you can run your business.
Yes. That I know there's those things I still sometimes get frustrated and I have to like step back and understand that it is totally different and I'm imposing mine.
So in the wake of COVID, how has that impacted like we know that it impacts small businesses. So most certainly you've had that experience. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume it to be so. But like, how does that impact your international work with them? Like, was COVID an issue in their culture? And
Yeah. It was a huge issue.
Yeah.
It locked everyone down. People were really struggling. I don't really know until I get there. It's hard to really talk to them over the phone about it because they're very positive people.
Good. Yeah.
And so I know a lot of businesses closed and I think the landscape is going to look different. Mm-hmm. But I know it was really dire and they were suffering.
Yeah.
So
one thing that comes to my mind is that, we get blind to our impact as consumers. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of feel like, oh, we're aware of and can wake up to,
mm-hmm.
and then make different choices about it.
Absolutely.
But when you hear this story from Christy today, you guys, don't you think like it's an interesting idea to be able to go and shop and participate in finding something beautiful at a local women-owned boutique and know that it's directly supporting like a family on the other side of the world that is like mm-hmm. specific names and people and experiences and within a culture so far away, you know, like the ripple effect of what we do, mm-hmm. you don't always get mm-hmm. to see that like crystal clear yeah. in one thread.
It is,
you know,
it is in one thread.
Yeah.
And it is so impactful. And I didn't realize, I mean, before this conversation was happening about this, I was doing it. You know?
Yeah, like you didn't realize what a leader you were.
I didn't know that it was really the impact that I was having
right
with people. And so it's just really humbling, and I'm so blessed that I can be a part of that.
Yeah.
The prosperity as well.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that impresses me about you personally, just is the way you hold yourself that way and like some clarity and some mm-hmm. humility
mm-hmm.
and a whole ton of grace.
Thank
and
you.
So that's really evident. And so when we have like shit crap days, we wonder like, yeah, I'm a little out of my mind right now. Have I lost it? Am I really living who I want to be?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's been really a beautiful example. You've been a beautiful example of that.
Thank you
for bringing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
For talking about it today.
Yeah.
Got anything going on that you want to shout about?
Yeah.
Should we maybe just say where the stores are again?
Yeah. They're, we do the festivals back this summer for Taste of Tremont, so that's happening.
Definitely Taste of Tremont. What's the date on that?
That's the 17th of July.
Okay, that'll be in the notes, you guys.
Yeah, it's been 2 years, and it's a fun time, and we do a big sale, and everyone loves it every year.
Yeah.
But we're just at the stores, we're getting out our new collection slowly. We got it in a little bit later, so we're still putting it out from Bali. And we just updated the website. I do all the photos and editing and all of that for
the
website. So that's my second job.
Yeah. Website designer.
Yes, I know. And that didn't exist before COVID. So it's been good.
Gotcha.
So we're just, you know, we hope to have a good summer. We have like, a lot of energy and fun.
I love it. Christy brought me this beautiful white shawl, white Kundalini yoga. So I'm super excited to wear this because, first of all, it is soft and lovely to touch, which means a lot to me too. Like textures on my skin are really important. So I'm super happy to have it. And you can wear it like on the diagonal or on the front back side. So it's going to lay over my shoulders really beautifully. And I couldn't help but pull it out because the knit is just a gorgeous pattern, and I'm so grateful for it. Thank you. Think about it. Think about going down to Tremont and finding some groovy, wavy pants, and you'll see me there. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much,
Christy. And we'll look for maybe a little partnership for a retreat to Mali coming up in the next year. We'll just have to think about what we can do. Or she might be having, like, I've had some other ideas of places, but the travel bug is real, you guys.
Yeah.
And if you want to check out our retreat to Sedona, that's coming up this September. It's going to be really fun. Sedona's great.
Yeah.
And then I think hopefully the world will be in a good place and we can travel somewhere international next year.
Yeah.
But all the good things. Thank you for holding such beautiful space for the world and bringing forward and bringing through all of that all of that.
Thank you.
Prosperity and beauty.
Thank you. The community needs this here. So I'm so thankful for you as well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do good things.
Yeah.
Right. Namaste, you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.